But in Amos, you'll find here that it's not a very big book. Read it sometime. It's only 9 chapters. It won't take you long to read it. And you'll find that Amos was not a man that was a descendant of prophets. Amos was not a man that come from a king's house or something that would have been a man that would have stood out. But he was one that listened to the voice of God and was willing to do what God asked of him. And here he gives many examples of things that God wanted, of messages that he spoke. But, you know, here God speaking to him. He said, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assembly. That was in the 21st verse of the 5th chapter. And in that same chapter, you'll find in the 4th verse, it said, but let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Now, you'll find that that's something that he was speaking here to the people because of the decision that they had made. But what's on our heart today is in the 7th chapter. And if you'll start reading with me, we're going to start in the 12th verse. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee me away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Listen here to what Amos said. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. But here you'll find what was supposed to have been the priest was telling me, don't you prophesy here anymore. Because what you're prophesying, it's offending the people. It's an offense unto the king. Then if you'll go down into the 8th chapter, and we'll start with the 11th verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And as I was thinking on these scriptures today, I was thinking about the path that America is taking and the choices that we are making. And you'll find that the preachers that stand and preach the Word of God today, they're trying to find a way to close them down. They're trying to find a way to withdraw that message that that man of God is speaking, so that we don't have to hear it. Why is offending some of our politicians? Because they live contrary to the Word of God. It's offending the leader of some of our churches, the biggest churches in our country. Why? Because they're not wanting to follow what the Word of God said. Just like this priest here was telling Amos, it's because today preach the gospel, they won't back down upon what the Word of God said, and they make it to where they close them down where you had no place to stand and breathe. But just like the men in the Bible, though they closed it upon, they wasn't willing to close their mouth. They quit speaking. Here, he told Amos where to go. But Amos just kept telling them the truth. You and I today, we need to realize we're not here to obey man and what his demands are. We're here to obey the voice of the Lord and what God tells you and I. Our government, our court system, everything that has power in our land may try and justify that the Bible don't, and if you speak out against it, condemn you and make a criminal out of you. But when we stand before God, like the song said there at the beginning of the sermon, we will go free. And though they lock you up in prison here, it's much better to have the freedom with the saints of the Lord. Oh, how awful it is to stand in a pulpit and feel like your hands are tied and the Spirit is all free to go and to deal with hard. Why? Because of the decision that people are making today. But you and I, God said, I called you. What for? To tell them the truth. Amos here, he said, I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't even a prophet's son. I was just out knowing what God had been given me to do. And that me was a sheep. And the gathered sycamore fruit. And yet God come and spoke to me. Then you go tell them. Oh, I'm a God. The priest that was there in the altar, he was saying, God had to go get a man whose heart was willing to be obedient unto God. Where in a man could have come by people today whose heart is ready to be used of the Lord? Just like the old prophet said, here I send me. God's waiting for the Lord that's ready to be sent. But we got our minds and our hearts on other things. We don't want to hear what the Bible says or what God has to say. We want to hear what some doctor so-and-so says. And, you know, man can come up with a theory, just like the Left Behind series and all kinds of other things. They'll come up with this theory and they'll put it out and they'll find the biggest following. They'll make piles of money at it. But to tell people the truth, nobody wants to hear that. Why? It gets down where I'm living. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I've got to, just like I had a preacher to tell me, I know that's what the Bible said, but they just got to be away. Isn't that an ignorant statement to make? If the Bible says it, that is the way. And you and I, we can search our whole lifetime trying to find a way around what God's Word says, and you're not going to find it. Why? Because God dug down the very foundation, the rock of God, Himself, and He built His Word upon that. And you're not going to be able to go. You're not going to be able to go higher than it is. You're not going to be able to go around it like the little song that they used to sing when I was a kid. You can't go under it. You can't go over it. You can't go around it. So you must go in at the door. You are not today. Christ said, I'm the door. I'm the only way into God. And we either come that way or we're left outside. And isn't it wonderful to know if we want our lamps burning bright with the Spirit of God when He comes, we can. Just like you'll find the five wise virgins, they had oil and they had a light. And they kept their lamps trimmed and burning. You and I today, that's what God's expecting of us. Because if we get foolish and we get ourselves entangled with the world, God's going to come and their life's going to be out and we're going to be in darkness for all of eternity. Not that I'm dependent upon my light to keep me in the light. But if I've let the light of God shine through me, for all of eternity I can walk in that light of God. Go to a place where it said, He's the light. You know, won't need the sun or the moon because He's the light. Isn't that wonderful to know that you and I, God prepared a place. Now, here, in what we read to you, a famine, not for bread nor water, but for hearing the Word of God. You know, back when I was young, I could not tell you the denomination of churches that my father went and preached in. He preached in I don't know how many. Missionary Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of God, Nazarene, just undenominational, and maybe some Baptists, I don't even remember what they was called, there in North Carolina that Dad preached in, regular Baptists and a little bit of everything. And preach the exact same doctrine as you could go in these churches and people would get happy and shout. You know, today, I could not tell you, I've got more fingers than I can tell you of churches where you could go and feel the Spirit strong enough to get blessed and shout. What's wrong? Has God changed? No. Now, I ain't saying there's not more than that around. Don't get me wrong. Just there's not more than that I know of. Just like the prophet, when he thought he was all alone, God let him know there was 400 that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. You and I, we don't know where all of them's at. But I'm confident there are people out there that loves God, that puts Him first. Why? Because the little handful that I know of wouldn't be enough to keep the power of God from coming and closing this down. But their prayer, praying on people, it was helping to keep it open. For now, that door of mercy. But there's coming a time when God said, He's not always going to strive with man. That door ain't going to be closed. And you and I today, we better make sure that we're on the inside. It's wonderful to know that we don't have to be in a famine. You know, back in the Bible, you'll find where there was a famine in the land and God had been feeding the prophet. But when the brook dried up, He sent him to a place, and here was this widow woman going to make a fire with just a couple of sticks. That lets you know she didn't need much fire to bake what she had. I'm going to eat that and die because that's all that they had. Didn't look like they had any future left. And the prophet said, bake for me first. She trusted God and the word of that man, and she did and went back, and there was meal for her and her boy. And as long as the drought and the famine lasts, that meal barrel did not go empty. Now, I don't think the next day when she went back, that meal barrel was plumb full. I don't know, every day she might have been right down scraping the bottom, but the next day they was there what they needed. Why, God said, I will supply your need. You and I today, if we put our faith and trust in God, we need not to worry about the natural food for this body. And I look back across this crowd, I'd say the biggest majority of it would be We might not be carrying many pounds over, but we're still overweight. But you'll find the things of the Spirit. God said there'd be a famine in the land, not for bread or a third for water, but for the Word of God. It'd be wonderful to know that my heart's right with God. That day will always be spread. We get on our knees and all by ourselves, and we need a blessing of God. We can see a table spread out in front of us, a mile long, with the good things of God there. Why? Because God said, you're my child, and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If we need to leave us, God, it's all there for us when we walk away from God. Just like what we read to you here. This priest, he had made his decision. And he had went the way that it took to please the king and the people there in that town. He didn't want to know what God had to say about it. He had made his choice. You know, that's about where America's at today. Don't bother me with what God's Word says. I made my decision. But when it comes down time to die, everybody says, I'm going to heaven. You know, the Bible tells me and you who it is that's going to heaven. It's those that has been obedient unto the Word of God. Those that's kept themselves unspotted from the things of this world by putting God first in their life. You know, granted, a lot of times here in this life, we might have a job or something that just takes about all the strength that we've got just to fulfill that and provide for our family. But you know, when it comes time that God asks something of us, if we really want to, we can find the strength to do it. If we really want to, all it takes is that effort to try. You know, I have went all day long and drove all night to get my dad back when we was in a revival in North Carolina. To get him back after service on Saturday night. Dad was sleeping in the car and I drove back from North Carolina because he was a pastor of a church so he could be there to preach the next day. Well, I get home and find out I'd been elected as pastor of a church. And I thought, how can I do this with no sleep? I took a shower, ate me something for breakfast, and I was just literally feeling like I was asleep on my feet. And I left for church. And by the time I got to church, it was like I'd been asleep all night long. Went through Sunday school and preached and come home and had to make myself lay down that afternoon. I was not tired, but I knew that I had to get some rest. And I laid down and went off to sleep and woke up and went back to church that night and preached and felt wonderful. Why? God gave me the strength to do what I wanted to do for God because that was my opportunity to stand for Him. Me and you. Well, let's just use this for illustration. Have you ever seen a kid that was fooling around, acting sick and puny because there was some job that needed to be done around the house, or maybe just because they just didn't want to get up and do anything? And all at once, here comes some friends over, and they wanted to get out and play ball. That kid was right out there in the middle of it. Why? He wanted to do that. You know, I found that is true with most Christians. If we really want to, we can do whatever God asks of us. We've just got to first put forth the effort. When it comes time to be in church, if we really want to, we can find the strength to be there. We might not be the best feeling when we leave home. There's a lot of times I leave home not feeling well. I feel a lot better when I get to church. And I always feel better when church is over than I did when I got there. You and I today. God says, put forth the effort. No place can you find in the Bible where God said, you have got to be the best. He just wants you to give Him your best effort. Trent back here, he's a little shorter than I am, and he's got to be about as wide as I am. But there's no way that I'm as strong as Trent is. I don't know, even in my prime, that I could have been anywhere near that strong, because I've seen the way he could grip the drywall and just lift it up like that, and I never did have that kind of grip, although I used to have a pretty good one. So I'm not capable of doing what he's capable of doing. But God does not judge me like that. He just judges once I have given my 100%. That's as good as I can do, and God knows it. Me and you, we better make sure that our mind ain't selling us short of what we're able to do. You know, a lot of times people will say they're giving their best, but under the right circumstance they can do twice what they was doing. You and I, when it comes to the things of the Lord, we better make sure we are doing our very best for God. Here, what we read to you. Amos, his credentials wasn't something that was inherited. It was a calling of God. Me and you, when God calls us, He equips us. You ask, what qualifications did that shepherd or that gatherer of sycamore fruit have to stand and basically withstand a man of the family of the priesthood? Because God anointed him and qualified him. You and I today, if God calls us for something, He's already qualified us. He's just waiting for us to be willing to go. Are we willing? That famine, we're living in it today. Speak the truth to people. When somebody, I don't care if it's a kid, just like I did with a kid this week. I don't care if it's a kid that opens a door where you can testify of what's true and the way that we need to really put God in our life and follow after the things of the Lord. If that door opens, speak it. Because you never know what a difference it's going to make in that kid's life. You know, Wesley, that song he wrote, it was a blessing to me. And above all, is the efforts to teach about God is not went in vain. Each and every one of us that's had even a small part can know that it's something that can grow and develop a life. Not just a little child, but a life of commitment unto God. It starts out as small things. You know, when people are scared of the dark or scared of this or scared of that, you know, God can give us the peace to overcome it once we realize God's the one that's controlling it. He's the one that's able to protect us. And you know, first of all, when the devil tries to come at us with things to make it look like life is just impossible. Know that we've got Christ there with us. And that everything that we face as we walk through this life, if we put Christ out in front, we can be an example to all the ones that's falling behind or those that we're meeting. They can see that there's something to being a Christian. You and I today, Amos here didn't come back and tell this priest, well, you should listen to me because I'm educated on this more than you are, or this, that. He come back and told him how God had qualified him. What gave him the authority to speak. And God had sent him word to speak. You and I, that's what God wants of each one of us. He's called us and he wants us to go and speak his word. While we get some song to sing, will you, I beg you, if you've been flat at doing what God asks of you, maybe you've had some chances to witness people, but you were just a little bit shy or timid about doing it. If God's give you the words to say, just think of how much God loves you, how much he loves the person that he sent you to witness to. Because you and I, we never know. We may be the only person that cares enough for that person to witness to them. And if nobody else goes, and you don't, they may never hear. And God told us in his word what a soul is worth. Because what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So in other words, your soul is worth more than that whole world. So if you only lead one person to the Lord, look what you've done. You've done something that was worth more than all the world. You opened those blinded eyes and helped them to see what God has got for them. That's something to truly be thankful for. While we sing, will you come? Unto each and every one of us if we'll only listen to him. Giving us a job for each and every one of us to do. Amos here could have said, well, he was content to keep doing what he had been doing. But God had called him for a higher purpose. Each and every one of us, God's got a purpose for our life. Don't refuse to let the Lord use.